T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The Indianapolis Colts have signed Pro Bowl left tackle Eric Fisher, signing a one-year $9.4 million deal. Fisher, the longtime tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, was released by Kansas City. They've made some trades as well to try to solidify their O-line, but Eric Fisher looking to revive his career in Indianapolis. We wondered what direction the Colts would go to protect the blind side of Carson Wentz after Anthony Costanzo retired. Mm-hmm. They're going with Eric Fisher, the Pro Bowl tackle. He was 16th among tackles in grade per Pro Football Focus last year. And I guess Frank Reich, Chris Ballard, they feel good enough about Eric Fisher to trust him to protect the blind side of Carson Wentz in his first year as the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts.
Big time roll of the dice, big time risk reward. Had Achilles surgery very recently, so they're betting on their doctors, on their evaluation, that he's going to be there, and they're getting him on the cheap. I mean, I think the contract reportedly is about $9.4 million, $9.5 million. He was due to make what, 14, something like that?
12.
Okay, so yeah, I think this is a big risk reward. I honestly wish I had a stronger opinion for you. I don't know if I like it or not. I don't know if this is, you know, the risk reward, like, okay, good move, I see where you, what you're doing there, I trust your doctors, or man, is this how far you have to go to try to find a left tackle? Because most Achilles injuries take a lot longer to get back from.
We'll get an update on Carson Wentz from Frank Reich, the coach of the Colts, in about 6 minutes. It's an interesting situation for Texans fans and for Colts fans when it comes to Carson Wentz. It is a mental dilemma that we'll get into. But first, something that could impact the biggest storyline, offseason storyline in Texans history, the status of Deshaun Watson. James Palmer, who once upon a time left Houston for bigger spotlights, now with the NFL Network, he put out a report, and flat out, this is no beating around the bush. This is James Palmer talking about the possibility of now the biggest focal point when it comes to disgruntled quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, potentially going to Denver and being the quarterback for the Broncos in 2021.
I've talked to people inside the building who told me that it is a real possibility Aaron Rodgers could end up with the Denver Broncos. Broncos are a legitimate landing spot. Remember how aggressive George Payton has been at the quarterback spot and how he's talked about how aggressive he's going to be. And when they heard the news about Aaron Rodgers and his uncomfortable situation with the Green Bay Packers, they started kind of thinking about what a package would be if they were going to try to put something together for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, the Packers on draft day weren't picking up the phone and talking about those discussions. But also comes into play their cap situation. Very few teams have the cap ability to land Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos do. They have the second most cap space in the NFL. And then a lot of teams would have to unload an expensive quarterback to make room for Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos don't have that. So they don't have these constraints that a lot of other teams have in landing Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. First of all, I buy it. James Palmer, one of the hardest working guys in the league and one of the best sourced people in the league. If he says he talked flat out to people in the building, then people in the building told him these things. Now, how true are they? We'll find out. But I think there's some real fire to that smoke.
And I mean, I think that smoke comes down to Houston, because I think this is one of those things where if that does happen, and I can't say this enough, if that does happen, Las Vegas is going to be very desperate for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Might not be this year, but next year, if you're in it, if you're looked at as, I mean, the one of the quarterback gurus, and I'm not saying it's a deserved title, but John Gruden was looked at as a quarterback. I mean, they had freaking Gruden QB camp in on ESPN for all those years. But if you're in that division, you got the 10-year, whatever it was, $100 million deal from Mark Davis. They moved the team to Las Vegas. They open a new stadium. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a division, and you've had moderate success so far with the Raiders. If you have Patrick Mahomes, the best QB in the game right now, Justin Herbert, the reigning rookie of the year, and then Aaron Rodgers, the MVP of the league in the same division, John Gruden and Mark Davis are going to be desperate as hell.
Just pride. I mean, you know, you forget – you know, the X's and O's. The X's and O's are a huge factor here. You have to compete in your division to just get anywhere.
Of all the good things that could happen to the Houston Texans, if you're a Houston Texans fan and you want this rebuild to intensify and you want the Texans and Nick Caserio and Cal McNair and Jack Easterby and all these guys, if you want these guys to get back on track or at least get some sort of, you know, pivotal moment where the rebuild at least gets some serious momentum, Denver trading for Aaron Rodgers is number one on the list.
Absolutely.
100% number one on the list, because that guarantees to me after the year that the Las Vegas Raiders are going to aggressively pursue Deshaun Watson.
And if the Raiders do, that's going to get out and others will.
It either jacks
up
the price or you get a great deal.
Right.
So as you sit here and we have this silence of the Deshaun Watson situation, just because the news isn't in front of you, like right here on your TV screen, and we've had this silence, this lag with the Deshaun Watson thing, doesn't mean it's not right in front of you and you're not being impacted. Because Aaron Rodgers to Denver, first of all, it seems like the overwhelming favorite. Mm-hmm. But if it does happen, then the possibility of Deshaun Watson going to another squad, and most importantly, the possibility of Deshaun Watson returning the maximum amount of potential assets, it goes up significantly. I can guarantee you that Las Vegas will be kicking the tire, doing more than kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson. If Rodgers goes to Denver, if this thing gets settled, if the NFL makes their decision, that is going to be one of the teams that's going to be most aggressive for Deshaun Watson.
I mean, is John Gruden going to say, no, we're good? I mean, look, you got Herbert, you got Mahomes, you got Aaron Rodgers. We're good. We're straight. Because they were struggling anyway. I mean, to find their feet under Derek Carr. And now you got that every, you know, six times a year you're facing those guys, much less the rest of your schedule. I'm intrigued by just the price that it's going to bring up. Houston Texans fans have to cheer for Rodgers becoming a Bronco. You have to cheer for that.
Not only does it do that, because you're talking about the price, and that's got to be at least a measuring point for Deshaun Watson. You're talking about a guy that's going to be 11 years older than Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, roughly, when it happens. So that's a measuring point as well. I mean, this trade, if Denver gives up a haul for Deshaun Watson, then you should be very pleased if you're Nick Caserio and very pleased if you're a Texans fan that wants this rebuild to get some sort of momentum after basically a timeout with all the legal stuff going on with Deshaun Watson. So you got to keep an eye on that. Aaron Rodgers to Denver would be a good thing. The Carson Wentz situation in Indianapolis is interesting as well. And if you're just tuning in, Eric Fisher, former left tackle of the Chiefs, signs with the Colts. He's going to be protecting the blind side of Carson Wentz. Normally, when you're a Texans fan, you don't want success for the Indianapolis Colts. But again, it goes back to the value of Deshaun Watson. You need Carson Wentz to play 75% of the snaps so that the Philadelphia Eagles, who could be another team, they could get in a bidding war with Las Vegas. The Eagles get another first-round pick. They already have two next year. They could have as many as three first-round picks. So you want Carson Wentz to at least be on the field 75% of the time, and typically that means that he will have success. But it's about what's upstairs with Carson Wentz. This was Frank Reich on the Rich Eisen Show talking about acquiring Carson Wentz and the project of reviving the almost MVP of the Philadelphia Eagles a few years ago in Indianapolis.
You know, you move teams, you go through what Carson has gone through, and an opportunity like this presents itself. You use it for what it is. It's time to hit the reset button. Go back to the basics, the fundamentals, starting at the very beginning. Hey, new team, new beginning. Let's use this to our advantage, Carson. He's embracing that. He wants that. He's working real hard and looking forward to it and off to a good start.
Now, it's all connected to Deshaun, because the bidding war, Denver makes Las Vegas want Deshaun Watson, and then Carson Wentz having success gives Philadelphia more draft equity, but it goes to if Jalen Hurts looks good in Philadelphia. There's just a lot. The market for Deshaun Watson is increasing. Mm-hmm. If the smoke around the legal stuff remains this way and it even dies down eventually with a settlement, you're going to have more teams bidding for Deshaun Watson than you would have before. But what about the mental state of Carson Wentz? Here's Frank Reich talking about that.
Well, first of all, I don't think that's the case. I mean, that's how I feel about it. That's my opinion, that I don't think the drafting of another player sent Carson, in a tailspin. I think it's complicated. I think there was a lot of different dynamics. You know, when you win or lose in this league, everybody should share in the success, and everybody should share in the blame. It usually doesn't work that way. You know, the quarterback, head coach, whoever, GMs, you know, tend to be the focal point. So Carson took his share of being the focal point of the blame, and that's part of the process of being a quarterback in this league, and you got to be a big boy and be able to take it. But, you know, now's an opportunity to hit the reset button.
All right. So Frank Reich with Rich Eisen on the Carson Wentz situation.
First of all, as everybody knows, Reich and Wentz have a history together in Philadelphia, and so I think he's pretty confident with what he can do with Wentz. But I mean, Wentz in this, underneath Frank, with Frank Reich as his head coach, that change of scenery alone is going to be very intriguing to see how he just responds. It was off the rails in Philadelphia. And now you got him a left tackle. You know, whether we'll see how healthy Eric Fisher is, but that tells him right there that they are in with me right now. And so I think that helps Carson Wentz as well.
You have a market that is going to be even higher for Deshaun Watson than we can even imagine. And I'm looking at this. It might be delayed, but in a crazy way, trading Deshaun Watson either after this season or after June 1st, at one point it looked like you weren't going to get anything for Deshaun Watson. I think you might even get more. Yeah. I think there's going to be even more desperate teams. And if you look at the possibilities of what could happen, the fact that Philadelphia has now stockpiled picks to where they got a Miami Dolphins-like haul, like the one that we thought that the Texans would get, or a Jets haul, they have that. And then you have Las Vegas being desperate. I think that new stadium, owner, coach, quarterbacks in the rest of the division, I think that's just going to jack the price up so much to where it's crazy, because it was an interesting road that got us here. And again, legal stuff and criminal charges can change that. But it just appears that this long, 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 long road that Nick Caserio and the Texans have gone through, it could end with an even more intense market than the one that we thought we were going to see when it comes to acquiring Deshaun Watson.
We'll never know, but I don't think it's going to be quite the market that it was before the scandal hit Deshaun Watson. But it's a lot better than it was 3 weeks ago because of things like this. And again, you know, the meatiest part of what has become of Deshaun Watson's trade value has to do with Broncos, what the Broncos do with Aaron Rodgers, and then Vegas, and then Philadelphia, and then obviously Miami has been in the mix. So I think everybody's going to just kind of elevate their game. I don't know if it's going to be the same market as before, but it's going to be a better market.
Aaron Rodgers might be the number one story in the NFL right now, and Deshaun Watson, you're not seeing many headlines, but those two are connected, and the future of the Houston Texans is still right in front of you. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Rooting dilemmas when it comes to Houston fanhood. Would you sell your soul for a possible kick to the junk? That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Rooting dilemmas here in H-Town. 713-572-4610. It's an interesting thing that we're going through around here. Been rooting for the Rockets to lose all season long. They're now assured of having the best odds possible for landing a top four pick in the 2021 NFL draft, or NBA draft. They've mathematically clinched one of the worst three records of the season. However, that doesn't mean that getting that draft pick is a guarantee. Their odds have been maximized, but their odds of having their draft pick in the top four is at 52%. So you're the worst team in the NBA, And if you get in the top four, you get to keep that pick. If you don't, then it goes to Oklahoma City because of the Russell Westbrook trade.
Right,
probably
right.
Probably the worst trade made recently. It's right up there with some of the stuff that King Bill did. But Rockets fans have been sitting here, and you've been hoping the team loses, and now all of a sudden, you basically are a coin toss away from actually getting to keep that pick. Mm-hmm. That, my friend, is called selling your soul for a kick in the nuts.
Yep. Yep. It absolutely is. And I guess they can go top four, right? But if it goes five, then all of a sudden it's gone. That's not exactly losing to win, as you like to say.
What is success and what is a lose-win for the Houston Texans in 2021? That's the question that I've been asking, because you're in a similar situation. It's somewhat like the Rockets, although as bad as the Texans, as many feel that the Texans are going to be in 2021, they're much better at football than the Rockets are at basketball, especially with all the injuries and especially with the James Harden stuff. What would your ideal – lay out your ideal Houston Texans season for 2021.
I think you need to see individuals – and I just want to emphasize this because I'm a Texans fan and there are some enormous Houston Texans fans out there that are just going to have to recondition themselves on how to watch and cheer for the Texans. Yeah, you get to the stadium. You want to see them do well. You want to see them win. But big picture, it's not what's best for you. I want to see, and I'm not even really talking about Davis Mills. Sure, if he shows something, I'm not going to get into that discussion again, you know, about the 7-3 and do you want to draft another quarterback? Fine. My baseline is Davis Mills, see what you got in him, but you're still drafting a quarterback if you get a top five pick next year. Let's set that aside. I want to see Nico Collins, big receiver, big target, perhaps showing something where, all right, in 3 years, that's going to be a guy that's going to be a big, significant part of what the Texans are when they are a contender. I want to see that, all right? I want to see Brevin Jordan, another, you know, the tight end. Those are the
I think you will on that one.
Yeah, those are the two guys.
My bold claim, I think Jordan's going to ball out.
I want to see Brevin Jordan become a tight end where you're like, he's either one of or the guy, you know, at the tight end position, because clearly some of these guys aren't going to be here. I would doubt that Kahale Waring's even going to be in a uniform come the regular season. Jordan Akins, who knows, et cetera. I want to see those are the two main rookies, all right? Maybe find a guy that can be a part of the team that is going to be a good, like a special teams guy that has, you know, some potential to spell some people. Garrett Wallow, we talked about as perhaps sitting, you know, the kid from TCU fitting that role. And outside of that, I think it's all found money, man. And I don't mean to be crass and a downer. I'm a Texans fan. I mean, I am a Texans fan. I think the best thing they can do is win less than four games, but show some individual progress.
The water polo tight end, you just mentioned him.
Yeah.
He was in Georgia last week throwing with Tyrod Taylor.
There he was.
Water polo tight end doing his thing. By the way, water polo guy, I think he got honored this weekend.
How about that?
Water polo guy, you remember
called it
him?
A career.
One of the most historic phone calls in the history of In the Loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nope, you're wrong on that one.
Yeah, he called it a career. He got honored, right?
Called it a career. He got honored after 46 years as a water polo coach yelling at people and telling them they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Have any of you actually ever seen a water polo game?
Finally retired. Shout out to the water polo tight end, Figgy.
Did they retire his coaching shirt or what? What'd they do?
I don't know. I think they probably gave him a yellow card because he's got so many of them.
You get yellow cards in water polo,
yeah,
huh?
Yellow and red, yeah, as a coach.
Going through fan dilemmas.
He's an angry man.
So that's what success looks like for the Texans. Rockets success, we can't even measure yet. It's going to come down to the lottery. That's going to be an interesting experience.
And then a coin flip.
I want to ask you about the Astros. The Astros are really the only team in town where winning is winning.
Yeah, where you really do want to see them win as many as possible.
Where you actually win when you win.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to ask you this, because in a long season, baseball, 162 games, I was thinking this the other day as I was sitting at the yard. I was sitting at the Astros game. And I was thinking, Because I've been in attendance at two no-hitters. One perfect game, one no-hitter. One combined no-hitter, one perfect game. Blue Jays pitcher on Saturday had it going. He was dealing the first time through the lineup. If you're an Astros fan, and I'm asking you, I'm not going to be like, how should fans feel about this?
Right.
That's whack. You, John Lopez.
Right.
If you're at an Astros game and you want the Astros to win, and it's just a normal game. This isn't like a playoff game or anything like that. It's just one of 162.
Mm-hmm.
If the opposing pitcher has gone perfect through eight innings and your team's down, let's say 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the tying run on, you have a chance to win.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Would you rather 713-572-4610? No, you don't get the walk yet. But going into that ninth inning, would you rather the opposing pitcher complete the perfect game so that you were in attendance at the perfect game?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather your team break up the no-no and get the dub? In other words, and we're talking one of 162. We're not talking World Series. If the guy has a perfect game through eight innings, are you rooting for the perfect game? Or are you rooting for the rally?
If it's that close, I'm rooting for the rally. If it's that close, you said 2-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm rooting for
Hell
the rally.
Hell
no. No, I'm being honest. If it's like 4-0 and there's a perfect game and it's the eighth inning, I'm cheering for the perfect game. I mean, let's just be honest.
I'm cheering for the perfect game no matter what.
No matter what?
It's rare. Don't you want to be a part? It's one of 162.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be a part of that instead?
I'm not saying it wouldn't be intriguing, but if you still have a shot, then because part of the story is the heartbreak, right? You know, is like, wow, they broke up the no-hitter with, you know, a single or whatever, or a home run to get within one run, whatever. But if it's 4-5-0, let me see the perfect game. Yeah, let's go ahead and end this.
I might be rooting for the perfect game if it's 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Quite honestly, I want to see the history.
Yeah,
it's one game.
No,
one.
I get it.
One of 162.
I think people, you know, different strokes.
It's a long season.
I think I've seen four no hitters, something like that.
Rally is the popular opinion on the text line right now. We got,
but be honest with yourself.
30-ish people saying rally.
Yeah, be honest with yourself.
Always.
Don't just say what you think we would want to hear. I'm being honest. If it's out of hand or close to out of hand, I'm cheering for the perfect game.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Speaking of the Astros, kind of a sad weekend here at Sports Radio 610. We lost one of our teammates. Brandon Porter is no longer with us. He passed away early Saturday morning. He did a lot of part-time work here. Always one of the guys that you would go to when it came to the Houston Astros. He would suggest, you know, talking about the farm system every once in a while, and you kind of just have to tell him, BP, I don't know what you're talking about, but Brandon Porter no longer with us. Way too soon. Did a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, did a lot of the stuff on Texans game days that you don't see. He was definitely a master when it came to the dump button, saved my ass a couple of times, saved Seth Payne's ass, Radio Row with the altercation with Josh Ennis and all that. But Brandon Porter, no longer with us. Sad stuff. And a guy that really just didn't have a mean bone in his body.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just it cast a pall over the entire station just because he was just a good dude. I mean, just a good dude. Very laid back, kind of not soft-spoken, but just sort of reserved. And Figgy, I know you got to be very, very tight with him, especially during Harvey when you spent four nights in the studios with Brandon Porter, which says a lot about him. But let's keep all this in mind. Every Houston Texans game that you heard on the radio, every one, Brandon Porter.
For the last 15 years.
Brandon Porter was involved at some level back here.
He's the reason why we got the highlights. He was the guy that was cutting up all the highlights.
On the move.
He would have them there for us Monday morning, so he was responsible for all of that.
And Figgy, I would tell you, I'm going to toss it to you because I know you got to know him really, really well. We all knew him well, but you got real tight with him. The way I would describe it is a starter of a utility man, if that makes sense. Can do everything, and it can always be there. And the other thing is I don't remember, look, I could be wrong. I don't remember him ever making a mistake. And that's hard to do when you're behind that glass, Figgy.
Yeah, he was somebody who knew everything around the station. He'd been here 15 plus years. If you didn't know something, you would go to him. And he was just that guy that pretty much knew everything, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked me and him developed kind of a back and forth trash talk relationship. There was always chance. I remember last time I was kind of messing with him about the he got a new haircut. I talked to him for like a few minutes when he was in, but he became more comfortable and a little bit more sarcastic. I know he always had that Mio too. He was about that Mio, the pour in the juice. So I would always ask him if I could have a hit, and it would always just be Mio. But he was a good dude, nice dude, quiet dude. You kind of find yourself just wondering, you know, what it's the same old thing. Anytime someone passes away, maybe, you know, you should have, you know, you don't know when the last time you're going to see him is. And yeah. that's the sad part about it. But Brandon Porter, gone too soon, teammate of ours for 15 years. I know Vandermeer and John Harris mentioned it as well, but pour out some for our guy, BP, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. With you here, David Culley and Nick Caserio make a draft call. Is Zach Greinke deteriorating in front of our very eyes? And Justin Verlander, could he be back in an Astros uniform? We'll hear from him next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Davis Mills, quarterback of the Houston Texans. He got the call that every draft prospect dreams of. On the other end of the phone was Nick Caserio, who passed it to head coach David Culley. Here's what that phone call sounded like two Fridays ago when Mills was selected by the Houston Texans.
Great. Where are you at? Nice. Pretty quiet? All right. Okay, great. All right, we're gonna turn a pick in here in a minute, and we're going to make you a Houston Texan. You know, we're excited to have you. Like, you're a good player. You know, you've had a good career at Stanford, and, you know, you're the type of person that we want to have in the building. So, you know, we're excited. Enjoy it with your family. We'll circle back with you here in a little bit. Coach Culley is sitting right next to me here. He's going to get on the phone. So we'll visit with you here in a little bit. But congratulations.
Davis. David Culley, head football coach, Texans. How you doing? You should be. Hey, listen. Love the thought of you being a Texan. I mean, we can't wait to get you here. I hear him in the background. I hear him. Yeah, tell him, get him some boots now, okay? Hey, well, listen, looking forward to it. Congratulations, happy for you. I couldn't be, as a first-time head coach, I couldn't be more happy for you.
Is David Culley rocking boots?
No.
Where's he get these boots from?
No, and how about Nick Casero's not exactly Mr. Excitement there.
He's focused.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, you all right?
He had to make,
oh, by
he
the
had
way,
to make some moves.
By the way, we'll go ahead and make you our pick here in the third round.
Davis, you're coming to be a Houston Texan. Come on down, right?
Right. Actually, he didn't say that.
Peter King had an interesting thing to say, speaking of the Texans quarterback situation.
Interesting, I mean, is an interesting word.
This is the kind of depth you get when a guy writes one column a week and acts like he cured cancer when he puts that column out each week. This is what Peter King had to say about Deshaun Watson. I think predicting the future of Deshaun Watson is borderline impossible. I just think by a year from today, he'll have a new home. This is a gut feeling.
Get out. Really? You have a gut feeling that Deshaun Watson's going to get traded by this time next year. Man, that's the kind of insight you don't get everywhere. Except, you know, everywhere.
It was a big weekend, though, for Deshaun Watson.
It was?
Not hearing anything.
Oh, yeah.
After the two-week deadline. Still silence. Aaron Rodgers is taking all the media attention away. Deshaun Watson just kind of getting to lay low a little bit. Business picking up. We're 3 weeks away from June 1st, which is when it becomes easier to trade Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I think within that 3 weeks, we get a settlement.
Yeah,
that's just me calling the shot. I think that eventually happens.
Is that a gut feeling?
Gut feeling, yes. That's much more of a limb that I'm going out on than Peter King. He's going to be on a different team in a year.
You know what? I kind of think they're going to trade Deshaun. That's what he put in his column.
This is
a gut feeling.
This is almost as bad as Peter King's good buddy who joins us tomorrow at 10:40, John McClain, in that headline on the Houston Chronicle.
Wasn't his fault.
The differences between J.J. Watt's departure and Deshaun Watson's departure from Houston. That was a John McClain headline.
Yeah. They were.
I don't know what he had to do with.
They were slightly different, I would say. Just a gut feeling. Jeez.
When's McClain going to start coming back in studio with us, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, that's... We got a chair ready for him.
I always thought McClain liked getting out of the...
Getting out of the house
a little bit.
We have big
you should
TVs.
Tell him to come in studio tomorrow.
Where am I going to sit?
No, he's going to have to sit there.
You think?
Yeah, he ain't taking that seat back.
He would never...
It's been long enough.
He would never feel comfortable there. But yeah, I guess he should pretty soon.
Yeah, when's he going to start? When's he going to start
Let's
doing
hit
his
him
thing?
Up.
He missed the wedding and everything. McClain,
you got to tell him.
Yeah,
tell
we'll hit him up.
I'm not going to tell him to do anything. You tell him, Figgy. You going to tell McClain what to do?
Oh,
there's only one person
man.
Who tells McClain what to do.
Yep.
You know who that is. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with
no
you.
No idea.
Here on, yes, you do. Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Schedule released tomorrow for the Texans. They're going to be released Wednesday night. Wednesday at 7, we will unveil the Texans schedule and break it down. All Sports Radio 610 hosts, myself, Sean Pendergast, will be driving the bus. We're going to split hours, paper, rock, scissors to decide who goes first. And who goes second is how that's going to go. Keep it locked. Wade Smith going to be on board. Cecil Short's going to be on board. I always love the releasing of the schedule. I think it is very, very significant. I think you have to try to minimize it. If you want to be a curmudgeon and minimize the NFL schedule, then you can. Yes, you know who the opponents are going to be, but when you play certain opponents, it matters. There's variables. Is there going to be a rookie starting? Is the rookie going to be inexperienced? What's the weather going to be like? How are the division games lined up? When does the bye week come? The natural storylines that emerge, it matters. When you face a team matters. If you go back a few years ago when the Texans won the division after starting out 0-3, if you face the Colts early in the season, then you probably caught a break. But once Andrew Luck started finding his form, you were screwed, which is why the Texans lost to the Colts later in the season. They lost to him in the playoffs. Last year, if the Texans' schedule hadn't been laid out the way it was the first quarter of the season, there's a chance Bill O'Brien's still here.
Absolutely.
He got fired after four games. That mattered. That 0-4 start mattered. If you would have sprinkled in some cupcakes in between, Bill O'Brien might not have been gone. So the placing of the schedule does matter. I always find it fun. 10:40 on Thursday, we'll do the world-famous Landlock annual schedule layout, schedule projections. But I love this time of the year. I love the schedule release. And 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610 on Wednesday, we got you covered.
And it's an exciting time for anyone. A lot of people like to travel with the Texans and go pick up a game for, whatever, just for fun or a particular opponent you want to see. That's going to be wild and crazy as soon as the schedule's released. People
got to go Arizona.
Start making Arizona's going to be a big
Arizona's
time
close. It's a cool, underrated city, and you're going to have J.J. Watt and Nuke Hopkins. That's got to be the no-brainer.
My son's trying to schedule his bachelor party and can't do it because he wants to go to a Saints game. He's a Saints fan. As soon as the schedule's released, he's going to schedule his bachelor party. Isn't that something right there? Plus, there's the old strength of schedule release has come out in the last couple of days. Believe it or not, the Texans have the toughest strength of schedule of any AFC South team, which is interesting after going 4-12. The Indianapolis Colts have the weakest strength of schedule, which is interesting. So how they line up their season, they get some of these cupcakes early, they go 4-1 or something, all of a sudden, the Colts are feeling pretty good about them. All these things, man. It's an exciting time to get the schedule out.
Kind of helps to have the Texans twice instead of the Colts twice. The strings of the schedule.
And that probably has something to do with it, but not everything.
It has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
For sure. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We got you covered again. 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610. The Texans schedule. I still think they need to be playing on Monday night the first week of the season.
I agree.
I think they need to be that second game. Second game doesn't get a lot of attention on Monday night. Every team has to have a primetime game. So put J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins versus the Houston Texans, West Coast game, second game of the Monday night doubleheader. Texans will not have completely wet the bed yet. You could have some buildup there. I think Chris Berman typically calls that game. Put the Texans as the second Monday night game in Arizona, week one, Monday night football. Who says no? Damn sure not me.
You were talking about a lot of former Texans and the connections that are going to be out there this year. It's going to be a fun schedule release.
You're going to face three of the best players in franchise history this year for the first time in different uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Hopkins and Watt in Arizona. You're going to face Dwayne Brown and the Seattle Seahawks when they come to town. And then you're going to have Miami, who have Will Fuller, Bernardrick McKinney, Brennan Scarlett, and you're going to get a crack at Clowney the second time. So
yeah,
there's a lot of potential grudge matches for the Houston Texans, and the schedule will be interesting. We got you covered right here on Sports Radio 610. Aaron Rodgers, speaking of schedule, the NFL has removed Rodgers versus Mahomes from the schedule release commercial. NFL has been putting out commercials, hyping stuff up, and they were hyping up Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, the last two MVPs, or no, two of the last three MVPs in the NFL. No longer with the Aaron Rodgers drama. They no longer are hyping that up.
Yeah.
Maybe because those two aren't going to meet with Rodgers in a Packer uniform, but they could meet twice with Rodgers in a Broncos uniform. Here's James Palmer of the NFL Network, formerly who worked in this city, talking about that very thing.
I've talked to people inside the building who told me that it is a real possibility Aaron Rodgers could end up with the Denver Broncos. Broncos are a legitimate landing spot. Remember how aggressive George Payton has been at the quarterback spot and how he's talked about how aggressive he's going to be. And when they heard the news about Aaron Rodgers and his uncomfortable situation with the Green Bay Packers, they started kind of thinking about what a package would be if they were going to try to put something together for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, the Packers on draft day weren't picking up the phone and talking about those discussions. But also comes into play their cap situation. Very few teams have the cap ability to land Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos do. They have the second most cap space in the NFL. And then a lot of teams would have to unload an expensive quarterback to make room for Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos don't have that. So they don't have these constraints that a lot of other teams have in landing Aaron Rodgers.
It's it all lines up, right? And it just seems, I know the Packers have been talking about, you know, mending fences and he's going to be their guy. We hear that every year about various players. That's not necessarily something that's etched in stone. I think the Broncos are a real possibility, and I know Texans fans want the Broncos to be a real possibility for Aaron Rodgers.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. More on that in the noon hour, because there are a lot of dots that can be connected around here as we localize it, as we always do on this very show. Two out of three ain't bad for the Astros, and that's what happened over the weekend. A lot of emerging storylines, though. Let's just go through the Astros weekend, starting with Friday. Friday night, a 10-4 dub by the Astros. Yuli Gurriel, fifth in the league in batting average right now. Four hits and four RBIs in the contest. I am absolutely fascinated by the trajectory of three Astros this year. First of all, if you would have told me that an Astro was going to fall off, especially after the postseason last year,
me too,
I thought Yuli might have been washed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
36 years old, he's an all-star right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is absolutely hitting the crap out of the ball. The direction in which Yuli Gurriel has gone, pleasant surprise for me when it comes to the Astros.
No question.
On the other side of things, and maybe this is going to be a thing of the past because he's coming off a four RBI day yesterday. Big Tuck, Kyle Tucker, he's gone down. I thought his arrow was pointing up, and I thought Yuli's was pointing down, but it's been the complete opposite. Surprise there. Maybe something I shouldn't be surprised about.
I know where you're going, and I totally agree.
Ryan Pressly.
Oh, you weren't going where I thought.
So you're
going
to go somewhere. Take me somewhere in a sec.
Yeah.
Most underappreciated, excellent athlete in this city right now.
Ryan Pressly. I didn't think Ryan Pressly was going to be like a hack. I just thought that Ryan Pressly, for the Astros to be successful, I thought he had to be something in between what he was in 2019 and what he was last year in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He's been even better than he was in 2019.
Yeah.
Ryan Pressly's been unhittable. He has the ninth inning on lock, and that has been a pleasant surprise. What was your surprise? Where'd you think I was headed?
Yordan Alvarez is the scariest player in the game right now.
D- dude. He is
a terrifying out to try to get. Let me lay it out.
Adam Spillane said he's becoming the best hitter in baseball.
I don't know if he's that yet, but he's terrifying to face. He is incredible. Who's the better player and who's the scarier player? Two questions. Aaron Judge or Yordan Alvarez?
Yordan's better.
Who's the scarier one?
Yordan's scarier.
Absolutely agree.
Yordan is better than Aaron Judge.
And he's scary. Aaron Judge is 6'7", covers the whole plate with his bat. Just a absolutely terrifying player. I would rather face Aaron Judge than Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan's better.
Right now.
Yordan's better. He's a better hitter.
Can I interest you in a stat?
Yes.
Batting average. Tell me whose batting average this is. 362 versus 245.
Yordan.
Home runs. 7 versus 8. Who has 8?
Yordan.
No.
Judge?
That's the one place where Aaron Judge has.
Well, I'm actually more impressed that the batting average gap is bigger than the home runs. That's the thing about Yordan. He's hitting against shifts. Like he's just dinking it down third base. He's just throwing the bat out there and dinking it in front of center fielders. The guy's a complete hitter.
Yeah. This is even scarier. Strikeouts, 28 versus 39.
Judge has more.
RBI. Yes, I say RBI. I'm one of those guys. 21 versus 18.
Alvarez
wins there too.
So home runs, one more is all that he's got
across the board outside of home runs. But I think that actually says more about Yordan as a scary hitter that he gets on base. By the way, I didn't even say this: a much higher slugging percentage as well, higher average, fewer strikeouts, more RBI. This dude is a terrifying out in baseball, and that's good news for the Astros.
Very good news. He's a total hitter. Going to Saturday, the Astros actually lost. I was in attendance, but there was a localized moment that had Mark Berman horny in the press box. First inning, Christian Javier on the mound, Kevin Biggio at the plate, the son of Craig Biggio, who was sitting right there very close. Kevin Biggio, four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
Used to run around in the clubhouse and on the field with his brother. First pitch swinging and a high drive deep right field. It is gone. A two-run homer for Kevin Biggio on the first pitch that he sees. And yeah, Dad might work for the Astros, but he's got a big smile on his face right now, doesn't he?
That's the Jays Network. After the game, Kevin Biggio met with the media types, and you already know who was going to get in on this.
It's very special to me and my family. I spent a lot of time here, you know, in the locker room and behind the scenes and the tunnels and whatnot, you know, being a kid pretty much growing up here. So it was pretty special to go deep here, especially with my family in the stands. And, you know, I've sat in the seats for hundreds of games watching my dad play, and now it's a little reversed right now. So it's pretty cool to be able to do that in front of him and in his building.
You expect this is one of those moments you'll never forget?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
No, I'm going to forget it. Forget what? Never forget what? Dude, how does that make you feel? What in the world? You think you'll ever forget this? Never forget what? Dude, what in the world?
You'll never forget. This is one of those moments you'll never forget.
Why does he always put words in people's mouth? The guy just summarized how amazing it was. And you're just trying to, it's like he's trying to get him to say, I'll never forget this. Like he needs that for his quote. He just basically talked about everything you could possibly want. Berman's always trying to like spoon feed these guys. By the way, congrats to Berman.
30 plus years
at Fox. Yeah. Hasn't slowed down one bit.
46 years in the market. Can you imagine him and McClain?
Yeah, and slowed down. McClain? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Astros win yesterday 7-4. Jose Altuve coming off of leaving New York with two middle fingers in the air. Four bags, Mr. Oppo Bellhop.
That fly ball to end the previous inning. Go ball.
That ball's driven deep to right field. Jose Altuve! Third home run of the year.
Man.
Kyle Tucker adds a bomb. He has four RBI. Zach Greinke, three straight starts without going five innings. Dusty Baker not worried about Greinke. But Justin Verlander actually met with the media types at the start of this series, and he was asked about the possibility of coming back to the Astros?
I mean, the organization's been incredible to me. Jim and the organization, extended their faith in me to keep me going. And there's really been no conversations about anything moving forward. I don't know why there would be at this point. I mean, I think anybody would, like to see how my rehab continues to go further down the line. I think I would have to prove that I'm healthy before that was even a topic of conversation. It was so kindly mentioned. Not a lot of people have had this surgery at my age. So there's been a lot of hurdles that I've jumped over that weren't jumped over by too many. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And they talked about he wanted to be in a position where maybe he could come back in September or something. I don't know. That's a big ask.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Investigative work coming up, trying to get to the bottom, little police work of Deshaun Watson's next destination and the showdown you've all been waiting for. We got two OG showdowns in the noon hour. We're going to start with the John Lopez laugh versus the Eddie Murphy laugh. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.